We are going to go Acts chapter 28. Oh, good. That's my water. Oh, praise the Lord. Acts chapter 28. And just want to encourage you a few lessons here in this passage. Just to encourage you here tonight to just continue living by faith. Amen. Continue to walk by faith, not by sight. You know, if we walk by sight, you know, we'll get upset at the government. You know, things don't make a sense. We'll get irritated. We'll get aggravated. And then we get back into the book and we get our eyes back upon the Lord Jesus Christ and we walk by faith, not by sight. I mean, we know the storms that are out there. Amen. We've all been through those storms. And so Acts chapter 28, and there's just 1 through 6, verses 1 through 6 here. And then we'll look at some lessons here out of this passage that has been a blessing to me. Acts chapter 20, just verse 1 through 6, it says, "And when they were escaped," hallelujah, "then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul," verse 3, "had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said amongst themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." And we moved to Australia about 15 years ago. And, you know, you think of Australia, the first thing I found out when I was moving there, Australia is home to a lot of deadly things. Deadly animals in Australia. I got a call from my mother, and she was crying on the phone. She watches some of this animal show, and they were discussing all the deadly things that will kill you in Australia. And I said, "Mom, we're living by faith." She didn't dry up her tears or anything like that. But, you know, when we think of some of those deadly animals there, you know, a Sydney funnel web. You know, it's a big spider. It bites you. You know, it's pretty much over with it. You know, venomous. Some venomous things there in Australia. And, of course, Australia is probably known for the venomous beasts. We have many of the venomous beasts. As a matter of fact, I think I looked it up. I'm not sure exactly how many, but 21 of the most 25, that's pretty good odds, 21 of the 25 most venomous snakes in the world live in Australia. And not only that, but Australia's home, we take the award for the most venomous. And we got the top one there, the inland taipan. They call it, another name is the fierce snake. Said the venom is so powerful a single bite could kill 100 grown men. Who would do something like that? Who would, you know, what a, I'm glad I've never run into those. I've run into venomous beasts, but our text here, we find a venomous beast or a venomous snake here. When Paul was gathering, verse number 3, it says a viper came out of the heat and fastened upon him. And, of course, they all looked on him, and we see what Paul did there. And so in our text, we find a venomous snake. And so tonight I want to look at some lessons from a viper bite, some lessons we learned from a viper bite. And if you're in ministry or if you made an altar call and you surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, or you made some, commitments to Christ, I just tell you, watch out. If you've been there, if you've made that altar call, and, you know, by the time you got home, you think maybe you got bit by a venomous beast. Like, what happened to me? I was going to go serve the Lord. I surrendered to go here. And sometimes it doesn't work out the way we think. So tonight, I just want to look at some lessons here from a viper bite. Heavenly Father, as we go to the Lord in prayer tonight, as we come before you, Lord, I just pray that you would, Lord, just allow the scriptures to help, to heal, to change, to challenge, to convict. And Lord, I just pray for the Mount Zion Baptist Church, Pastor Starr, that you would continue to allow this church to grow and to support more missionaries, and Lord, to just be a vital part, as he said, in the life of the missionary and the work that they do on the field. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless our time together tonight. And Lord, for the message, Lord, we just pray that you would just anoint these words. Lord, open eyes, and Lord, help us to get truths from your word that'll help us and encourage us. And Lord, maybe tonight there's somebody here that's not saved. Maybe tonight would be the night that they would repent of their sins and trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And maybe tonight there's somebody here that, Lord, maybe they're discouraged. Maybe they've been bitten a few times. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that they would find encouragement tonight. And then, Lord, maybe there's one here tonight that, Lord, is thinking about serving you the rest of their lives. One of the greatest things a person can do, a Christian can do, is surrender their lives to be used of God. And Father, maybe tonight there's one here struggling with surrender. Lord, I pray that they would see tonight it's one of the greatest things that they could ever do, one of the greatest things that they could offer back to a Savior who died for us is a life full of surrender. And Lord, just guide and direct our hearts. We pray the Spirit of God might do a work of God tonight. And Lord, only you know the hearts here tonight. And Father, I pray that the message tonight would just be a blessing. Lord, we thank you for the 15 years almost. We'll be in Australia by the end of the year. And Lord, I pray for the Westside Baptist Church, Lord, that you would continue to grow it and to use it to see many come to Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And that's one thing that I got so frustrated when we started the church. What do? You just knock doors. There's nothing else to do. So you just grab your family and you go out and you just start knocking on doors. And, you know, we didn't have much going on at the church, you know, as much as we do now. And so we just started knocking on doors. And every now and then I knock on door and, you know, you'd get, oh, are you Jehovah? Are you from Jehovah? And they're saying, you Jehovah's Witnesses? Well, no, we're from the Westside Baptist Church. They just kind of looked at you and all that. And I told our people, I said, one of these days, I went to Jehovah's Witnesses to knock on the door, and they get accused of being Westside Baptist Church. I said, that's what I want. I said, second of all, I don't want anybody to ever die from the western suburbs of Victoria and stand before God with an excuse they didn't hear. I want, if I could, get up there and stand beside, and somebody dies, and they say, God says, where are you from? He said, well, we're from Victoria. Whereabouts? Oh, well, the western suburbs. Well, you have no excuse. Your doors have been knocked on about 100 times, letterboxing, just all of those things. And so, but in the middle of all those things, boy, you get attacked. How many's ever knocked on a door and got attacked? I mean, I've knocked on a door and, we were having a good day. It started off good, sunny, and all of that. And I don't know, turned the corner, knocked on this door. I must have got, I don't know. He was angry anyway, and the guy whips the door open, comes out cursing me up one side and down the other. And he says, don't you have anything better to do than bother me? Boy, I wanted to say, I have a lot of things I'd like to be doing right now. But I didn't. I said, well, you know, you need to know about heaven and how you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. And, yeah, he didn't like that either. So, but, you know, then you go back. It takes two or three days before some of that finally wears off. Boy, that was I don't like that. And so my wife, she has the church mobile phone number. I don't answer that, especially after Saturday soul winning or John and Romans letterboxing. Sure, got a phone call today. I was like, is it good or bad? She's like, not a good one. I was like, well, just, tell them it'll be okay or something like that. I always say, hey, can we have your address? What? Click. Yeah, we'll come back by there or anything. And so that's what happens. Amen. And here in our lesson, we find that the Apostle Paul was fresh off of a shipwreck, and they escaped. Amen. And it says in verse number one, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And it's about, they say, about 80 kilometers or 50 miles south of Italy. It has about 450,000 people today. Melita's name means honey because of a unique production of honey. A special bee that lives there. And it says there, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. Now, that barbarous there doesn't mean a barbarian. You know, that barbarous, another word, is a foreigner. If you look that word up, it's the same word there as used as a foreigner. It says they showed us no little kindness or no ordinary kindness. And you see the context, they built them a fire. I'm like, wow, okay. One of the men that was on that slide in the discipleship that I was handing a discipleship certificate to, he went through our first program there. He's from this island of Miletus. And he goes, Pastor, when I saw barbarous, I was offended until I looked the word up in the little booklet you gave me. And I said, oh, good, because I just looked that word up. I said, it means foreign. He goes, yes, it does. And so we pass out the little booklet there with the, the King James Bible Companion. I make sure everybody gets one of those. And he said, that booklet you gave me during our discipleship program, I went there and I looked that up, and it means foreigner. I said, yes, it does. So he was all, but he said that, interesting enough, did you know on the island of Melita, there are no poisonous snakes? No poisonous snakes on that island. Do what? I don't know. But anyway, so we know here the context here. Paul was bitten on the hand there. I mean, now, what would you do, or what would I do if I got bit on the hand? Keep whistling and serving the Lord. Well, that's basically what Paul did. He shook it off. I'm not worried about it. I'm going to keep doing what I was doing. That's the whole idea here. And Paul, he was just on his way to Rome. Hit a 14-day storm, shipwreck, swam to shore, got a fire going, got the 276 or so off the boat. Paul was wet and cold. He's keeping that fire going. The snake warmed up and bit his hand. And it says there, interesting, in verse 5, he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. That's a tremendous thought there and a truth there. And so several things about this story and some lessons learned from the viper bite. And, of course, how can we apply this to our Christian lives? Well, the first thing that I want us to see here in verse number 1, and when they were escaped, okay? The first thing we see, lessons from a viper bite, is it happened after a victory. It happened after a victory, right? They escaped. Hallelujah. Woo! We just got out of that storm, and now we can just coast. It'll be okay. And what it wasn't long before, what happens? Paul gets bit. And when they were escaped, speaks of victory in our life. When we just get out of the valley, and we're on the mountaintop, and we're rejoicing, praise God, I could be here for a while, and back down you go into the valley. They had escaped the deadly storm, and they all lived happily ever after. Wouldn't that be nice? They all lived happily ever after. It's not the Christian life, is it? They escaped the storm, or if you want to put it in another, way, jumped out of the frying pan into the fire. Why do I always jump out of the frying pan into the fire? Pastor, I got a victory, and it didn't last. It was 2 days, and this happened to me. It happens, amen? And the snake bites here after the victory. Right after the victory, we have to be careful. Why? The devil can rear its ugly head up, its fangs, that little serpent, the Satan, right? Can if it rear its fangs up, and he can latch on to you again. I mean, you could come down, and I've done it. We've all been there. You know, you get a revival service, or God speaks to your heart in the message, and you want to go down. You want to get rid of some things. You want to put some things in. You want to nail some things down, and you make a commitment to God on the old-fashioned altar. And Wednesday, I got bit. I can't believe it. Pastor, what's going on here? You know, look what I did. Look, you know. Welcome to the Christian life. Welcome to the Christian life. And so what a lesson to learn that here they escaped. And then just a short while later, Paul gets bit. It happened right after the victory. We need to be careful. That old serpent is always ready to bite. And why is that? Well, I think after we have a victory, sometimes you let your guard down. Sometimes you think, hey, wow, man, I finally got over this. I finally got victory over this sin in my life. Hallelujah. That's good. But we need to be careful. Amen. The best time for Satan to bite is when we let our guard down. I think we can go from faith, if we're not careful. Is this echoing? If we're not careful, we can go from faith to sight. I mean, living by faith in Jesus. We know those songs, and we live by faith. But if we're not careful, boy, we start living by sight. How about the presidential outcome? How many went from faith to sight? Wait a minute, whoa. Peter, let's get our eyes back upon Jesus. Get it off the storm. We need to walk on water, amen? We need to live by faith. But it's right after you, as I said, you reach the mountaintop, you go down to the valley again. And those slides, to me, those are the victory highlights of our church. But if I would tell you of the valleys that we went through to get to those, it breaks my heart, some of the valleys that we went through. Some of the faces on there aren't with us anymore. Just what happened. When your dad came, we were at the National Baptist Fellowship. We had rented out a big venue, and a lot of, all across Australia came. And, boy, we were on a mountaintop. The Lord was blessing the church. I mean, I think we had probably about 130 coming out of the church. It was full. We couldn't get any more in the back door. And I'm sitting there looking for the, not trying to be ruin everything, but I'm looking for the snake. I'm looking for the serpent. I'm like, okay. And I would preach messages on, look, we need to be cautious, because after this great mountaintop we were on, we can go down into the valley. And boy, we hit a valley that I'd never been in before. And it seemed like things were going sideways on me. I couldn't, patch the holes in the ship fast enough. I was like, wow, what in the world is going on? And by God's grace, lots of prayer, we came out of that. And God began to add to the church, and God began to bless the church. And I think it makes those blessings a lot more sweeter, knowing the valleys that we come through and what God's done in our life. And so if we're not careful, we can get bit. You know what we can do? That's it. I'll never serve God again. Last time I make a decision for God, last time I come to the altar, look what happened to me. So we have to be careful. This snake bit right after a victory. So we need to remember this lesson very well. I think Joshua, we know the song, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, but we never sing the next verse, Joshua lost the battle of Ai, right? It happens in the Christian life. And so the first lesson that we see here that we learned is that it happened after a victory. The second lesson that we find out is the snake was hidden. The snake was hidden. I don't like that about snakes. I would rather the snake to say, hey, I'm an inland taipan, the most vicious snake in the world. Hey, they don't do that. They're hidden. And that's, we find, this one, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. There came a viper out of the heat and fastened onto his hand. So, you know, Paul didn't go and pick up all the sticks and go, oh, there's a lovely snake. You know, I remember when we had first moved there, I wasn't snake petrified, but I just realized probably all the most poisonous snakes live around my house. That's usually the way it happens in my life, you know. And where's the most poisonous snake? Oh, he's in your backyard. You know, the brown snake, I mean, that tiger snake. I mean, all these snakes are pretty poisonous. And I remember taking a walk one day by myself. And I remember walking, and snakes like the sun, right? And there on the rock, as I was walking down the path, I just happened to look over, and there was a red-bellied black snake, another one of those not-so-friendly snakes. And so I quietly called my friend who's up in New South Wales, grows up there. He's Aussie. He knows all about snakes. I said, hey, I'm whispering, as if the snakes, you know, I might disturb him. He's going to hear me. And he's like, could you speak? Where are you? I'm in the grotto, you know, in the grotto, down where the snake is. And I'm like, I said, here's a huge, I mean, it was huge, red belly black snake. I said, you think it'll bite me? He goes, if it would have, it already would have done that. I said, oh, so I'm safe? He goes, for this moment. He says, get out of there. And I said, whoa. But it was there on a rock, just coiled up, just soaking in the sun. But usually that's not the way it is. They'll tell you, don't go in the long grass. Don't go here. Don't pick up sticks. We know how it is. And most of you probably have snakes. But we don't pick them up, right? Well, do you guys pick up snakes?
We're not snake handlers.
Oh, not snake handlers. Okay. But they're usually hidden unless sunbathing. The idea here is, listen, you play with sin, you're going to get bit. If you play with sin, you're going to get bit. Sometimes we don't realize that we've even picked up the poisonous snake. It was hidden. Pastor, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see it. Where a pastor said, well, what were you doing? Well, I just clicked on this button. I scrolled through a couple things. I can't believe that happened. Sometimes we don't realize it. Then we need to realize Satan is subtle. Snakes illustrate this, right? The subtleness of the snake or sin. They slither in. They're sneaky. They're usually unseen until too late. You know, you turn on your dryer like they do in Australia, and my pastor's wife, thump, 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 thump. Wow, what's wrong with my dryer? You can probably guess it. There was a snake wrapped around the drum of the dryer. And so, praise the Lord, we got out of that place. We moved to Victoria where there were people. People can't hurt you like a snake can. I won't go that direction, but you know, what are we to do? We're to walk sober-minded, right? Because the devil, our adversary, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may what? Bless. No, that's modern versions. Walking around seeking whom he may devour. That's what the Bible says, right? And so what do we have to do? We have to keep constant vigilance. Why? Because here, sin, snakes, they're hidden. They're usually not out and play. Now, the world we're living in today is changing. Go to Australia. The things that were hidden are out. And some of the stuff is like, oh, we had a man come visit us, and we were just walking quickly through the mall area, and he goes, I cannot believe how much filthiness is around here. I said, well, welcome to Australia. So very immoral. It's very sad. But so the second lesson we find here is that, you know, the snake was hidden. Paul didn't even realize he had picked it up until what? It was too late. And usually that's what happens. You don't realize it until it's too late, until the damage is already done, until the sin has already taken hold and it's already got itself in. And yes, we can confess it. And yes, we can forgive it. But boy, that consequence. Boy, if I had never pushed that button, if I had never looked at that, if I had never gone there, if I had never thought about that and meditated upon, you know, perverted thoughts or something like that, and then it was too late. Pastor brings you in the office, tell me what happened. because it just bit me. He goes, where'd you go looking for it? Where was it hidden? And so we have to be careful here. The snake was hidden. Lesson number three here, and I think this is interesting here. Lesson number three here is it bit the one doing something. It bit the one doing something, and we know, Paul no doubt was thinking of others. We see it was rain, right? Cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, what was Paul trying to do? He was thinking of others, serving others, going out of his way. Paul was probably cold. Paul probably said, look, I saved every one of your lives. Do you think somebody could start a fire? what would we do in the same situation? But not Paul. Paul's gathering sticks. Paul knows, we need to keep this fire going. I need to keep these people warm. And so Paul was thinking of others. It seems he was the main one keeping the fire going. Cold, wet, tired. Boy, what a great example. What a great example. And so I think of this here. Satan does attack the one doing something. The devil will attack the one doing something. those that are doing something for God in spite of their circumstances, the devil is going to attack, those who are obeying, those who are trying to do God's will, those who are trying to, surrender. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It doesn't say, children, obey yourselves in the Lord, for this is a wonderful thing, and it is. But in obedience, sometimes it can be hard. It can be tough. Teenagers, the same with teenagers. Satan is going to attack the church doing something for God. That's what he's going to do. Right now, the Westside Baptist Church is, we lost the building we had met in for 11 years. And it was good. The Lord was so gracious to us. We could set up Saturday night. We'd all come down. We'd set up. And we just come in Sunday morning like it was our building. 11 years the Lord gave us that. And then I said, Lord, all we do, now we have COVID. Now we can't go door knocking. And I told our people every Saturday we come out, I said, listen, there might be a time coming that we might not be able to go knocking on doors. And I thought, but that'll never happen anyway. But I would say, look, you need to get involved now. You need to get in this now. And those that went out, I said, aren't you glad you got out the last 11 years? Because who knows when they're going to let us go back and knock on doors again. But no doubt, I think we might have stirred up the old devil. Good. Good. That's why he needs to be stirred up. But I don't want to get bit. Who wants to get bit? And so... the man or woman doing something for God, those warming themselves by the fire didn't get bit. Now, there's a time to warm yourselves by the fire, but what's going to happen when the fire goes out? Well, I'm not getting it. I wonder how many people thought about getting wood after Paul got bit. I'm glad he went out and not me. See, I told you that was going to happen. See, you go serve God, that's what happens to you. So be careful. I wonder if anybody around the fire was saying that about the Apostle Paul. Aha! Say, I'm glad I didn't go get wood. I would have got bit too. But that wasn't the point of the whole thing. But it does, cost to serve God. And we need... to get busy. And we need to do something for God, and we need to leave the results with the Lord, but we do need to watch out for the attacks. Many times they will be subtle. What is Satan trying to do? Stop the Mount Zion Baptist Church. Stop us from raising Bible families, amen? Stop us from raising our kids for Christ. There is a great attack right now upon the church. In Victoria, that equality bill, they just passed it in Victoria. And their whole thing is, it's a crime even to talk to your children about, I don't want to talk about it, I might go to jail, but no. But, you talk to your children about homosexuality, you're going to have to, sorry parent, you're going to have to go to jail for that. That's wrong. That's just what they passed in Victoria. And so, if you want to know how the world goes, just watch some of these other countries, some of the laws and bills that are being passed. And so, what are you going to do? Well, we're going to be, what? Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We're going to have godly wisdom. But we're going to keep serving God. Amen? But Pastor, if you say there, if you do that, you know, we're going to need wisdom. A lot of wisdom to raise our families for God. Satan wants us to stop. And so he's going to bite. You might find others. Look at verse number 4. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said amongst themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." Sometimes others will attack, say things about you. Ha ha, see, I told you what was wrong with that person, didn't I, honey? Yep, that's why they're going through what they're going through. And it's not true at all. We have to be careful. I mean, there is criticisms, gossips, jumping to conclusions, depressions. And like I say in my church, nobody in this church, but they're in other churches. That happens in other churches, amen? Or oh me. Again, we find that this snake bit one doing something. Paul, selfishness here. I wonder how many, I'm freezing. Paul was freezing too, but he was gathering sticks. And he got bit doing that. And so what do we do when that happens? Well, that'll be a few points down. I'll let you know. The fourth thing, lesson we find here, too interesting, it didn't come to life until the heat was turned up. But you see that there, pretty interesting. It says the viper in verse number 3, there came a viper out of the heat and fasted onto his hand. Ooh, that viper felt the heat. what did the viper do? It got laid in that fire and it went, "Whoa, what in the world is that?" And dang. But he didn't come to life until the heat was turned up. Snakes are cold-blooded. What do? They lay in the road. They try to warm up or sun themselves like that red belly black snake on the, And so, Satan is stirred to life many times. Why? The heat's been turned up. The churches are hey, praise the Lord. I thought of this. I thought, when COVID hit, everybody went live stream. Everybody put their services online. I mean, there was a you could not help but find a service online. I'm not saying they were all the services that you want to be on, but praise God. I mean, the gospel was being preached like never before. I mean, online. I mean, there was no way that you could not get a gospel message. You would have to, just turn it all off to not even get it. But boy, and so I thought, wow, praise the Lord. This is going to get us out of COVID quick. We're going to get out of COVID. We're going to get back to the church. Everything's going to be fine. And we're going to all live happily ever after. Then the heat got turned up, and they started voting on things like crazy. Like, whoa, wow, I can't believe they're voting on that. And so I got an email one day. And a pastor friend of mine says, "Hey, listen, you need to sign this petition." I said, because it's that bill, the equality. I forget, what was the name of our bill? Yeah, it's called the conversion bill. Not allowed to talk to anybody about that. And so he says, "Listen, you need to sign this petition. There's a lot of preachers signing this petition." And so I did. I got on there and I signed that petition. I'm against that conversion bill and all of that, and you can't pray, you can't talk, you can't teach your children, it's on homosexuality. And so I said, "Yep, I'm going to sign that bill." And then before I clicked off, it says, "Can we use your name?" What are they going to use my name for? So I said, "Yeah, no problem." And about 4 days later, the Christian Association that was doing all that shoots us a quick email. Tomorrow afternoon, in the center page of the Herald, Sunday Morning Herald, the center page, everybody's name is going to be there. And we're going to tell them what we think. I was like, I I have a friend, missionary friend down south. He called Sunday morning. It's Monday there. But Sunday, Saturday here, he goes, I think we're all in trouble. He said, your name's on the first line. I said, well, praise the Lord. And what? There's going to be a time we're going to have to say enough is enough. I mean, we're going to have to say, hey, stop. I mean, hey, you might go to just, we're going. That's the way it's going. It's push them right up. And finally, you know, I said, you know what? Enough is enough. I say, it needs to stop. And so I said to my missionary friend in Australia, I'm glad I'm in America for now. Watch when I go to the airport. Who knows? But it said this, it said, Daniel Andrews, we are not the criminals. And it listed all the pastors' names, almost 400 of them, that we are not the criminals. But nobody voted against it. Went right through, voted for it, became law. Like nobody even tried to stop it. And they went to the those that could have stopped it, and they said, look, if the preachers aren't going to stand up, there's nothing we can do about it. So the preachers are like, okay, we're going to stand up. They didn't do anything about it anyway because of the pressure that they're under. But that's what happens, amen? The serpent doesn't come to life until the heat gets turned up. I mean, if this church is going to continue to turn up the heat, do something for God, remember, the devil is going to get stirred up too. That's what happens. And no doubt, the rest of the story, what a great healing Paul brought to this area. And I believe God wanted Paul on this island. And we look at the life of Joseph, you know, in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass of this day to save much people alive. Hey, boy, Joseph knew about turning up the heat. Joseph knew about getting bit. Being wrongfully accused. I mean, look at the life of Joseph. What did he do anyway? He did what was right. He continued to do what was right. And so, what's the solution? Shake it off. Shake it off, right? Verse number 5, and he shook off the beast and the fire, and he felt no harm. That's the solution. You know, when, not if, but when he bites you, shake it off. You know, we can't get an attitude. We can't blame God and get upset at God. So God, look at all I did for you. I mean, I saved these men alive. I'm keeping them warm. And this is what happens to me. Boy, we can get an attitude, can't we? All I do for God. We have to keep going. We have to keep busy. We have to shake it off. I like what it says there. And felt no harm. Boy, that's good. It didn't let it affect him. Now, if it would have bit me, I would have been laying down ready to die. Oh, you know, why me? And so, how can we shake it off? How can we, you know, shake off that beast? Well, we need to make sure that we are close to God. Amen. We need to make sure that we're praying, that we're serving, that we're trusting Him, that we're living by faith. And boy, there is enough grace tonight. You know, one of the things that we experienced through this whole ordeal over there in Victoria was, you know, the people were excited. You know, they were happy. They were given. We didn't have, I think, anybody lose their job. We had one lady that was looking for work at the time. But boy, God really, really worked in a mighty way. So what do we need to do? We need to shake it off. Shake it off, just like Paul did. And it says that he felt no harm. Proverbs 24:16 says, for a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. And so what do you do when you get bit? When you're serving God and you're trying to do you know, what He's called you to do, and things just aren't working out, and you can't leave the country, and you can't go here, and you can't do what you want to do, oh, we just trust God. And we're going to keep serving God. But you might get bit. You might get hurt. That's fine. We're going to just shake it off and we're going to keep on going. Amen? And that's the lesson. So some closing thoughts here. Snakes bite when threatened. I guess the question is your life, your way of living, a threat to Satan and his work? Are we even a threat? Are we even a, you know, the whole scene of Job. You know, we can go to Job and Satan comes before God. And have you considered my servant Job? Or, hey, have you considered, I already got that one. He's not even a challenge. Snakes bite when threatened. I think our life should be a threat to an immoral, a wicked, an ungodly society. And it is, because that's why they don't like it. That's why they're trying to pass laws and they're trying to shut the believers up and shut down the church. Why? Because our way of life, they don't like that. They don't like that way of life. They want to stay in their sins and their lies and all those other things. Paul was a consistent threat for the devil. Amen. Remember, all have been bitten, amen, by sin. And they've already been poisoned. What do we need to get the gospel out? The cure. We need to get the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what keeps us going in Australia. We got to remember that, hey, look, there are people that are going to die and go to hell without Jesus Christ. The only cure is the gospel. It's not religion. It's none of those things. If you're going to do anything for God, expect to get attacked. Expect to get bit. Expect it. And what are you going to do when it happens? You're going to shake it off and say, ooh, praise the Lord. I must be doing something for God. Amen. Shake it off. And thank God for the good news. Jesus has already bruised the serpent's head. Amen. Already done it. Hebrews 2:14. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil. And so praise God, this serpent, Satan, one day is going to be cast into the fires of hell forever. And so a lot of lessons. There's more lessons in this passage, but just some lessons just to remind us tonight that if we're going to serve God, we're going to surrender to God. We're going to try and do something by God's grace for the Lord. It's not going to be easy, and you just might get bit. But what are you going to do? Shake it off. And let's keep serving the Lord. Let's keep walking by faith. Let's keep loving each other. Amen. You know what she said to me? Oh, be careful. You're going to get bit. Oop. It happens. It can happen.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.